I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. On the last, He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from off the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen.
Amen. I can't think of anything I'd rather have than Jesus. Would you agree? Amen. I'm so glad to see you in church today. We got a lot of exciting things going on today. Excited about mostly what the Lord's going to do today. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for today. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for everyone who's able to be here today. Lord, we do think of the ones tuning in via live stream as well. Lord, we're thankful that they're a part of the service. We ask, Lord, for your blessing today. We ask for your help. Lord, give us what we need today. And Father, we promise to give you the praise and glory for everything that's said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to take care of something real quick. I'll ask my wife if you'll come up and help me with these certificates real quick. And let's see here. All right. So the last, thank you, Brother Dennis. The last several weeks, as you know, we had been working on our discipleship class, and I really just wanted to take a minute to recognize them for completing the whole course. They went all the way from the beginning to the end, so we wanted to do that. So we have a couple certificates that we wanted to give, mainly in particular to that. And then, of course, they were also baptized as well. But we really are happy that they have been able to finish. And it's a great accomplishment, church, amen. It's a wonderful thing to go through a study and to really dig into the Word of God. So we wanted to take a minute to recognize them. So as I call your name, come on up here to this side. I receive your certificate, and my wife has another one here for you, and then you can loop back around. All right, so the first one that we have today is Roger Morrison, successfully completed discipleship class here at Florence Baptist Church. There you go. Come on here. All right. The second one, successfully completed discipleship class, is Miss Teresa Johnson. And I'll tell you, Miss Teresa will keep you on your toes, amen. She has a lot of good questions, amen. God bless you. All right. And then we have Miss Liz Johnson. Amen.
No, we're not doing that today. Right. There you go, Miss Liz. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And this guy here, man, this guy's my buddy. Amen. I mean, He's a big part of our church. I love to come and see this young man smiling. I don't think there's ever been a time where he hasn't come by and made sure he greeted us. And he's just such a blessing to me personally. Quentin Johnson, come on up here, buddy.
All right, buddy. There you go. Congratulations.
And then last but certainly not least, and I really appreciate this young lady's spirit, getting busy singing for the Lord and just serving the Lord any way that we've asked her to help, Miss Olivia Johnson. Would you come on up? Let's give them all a big hand, please, this morning. And I wanted to say we're looking forward to Miss Ronnie's going to get baptized next Sunday morning. So make sure you all come back. Always exciting to have another baptismal service. Amen. So we're excited about that. And we're working on a couple of things, aren't we, Brother Kevin, to make sure folks don't get frozen, leave here with frostbite. Amen. You know, you may come in cold in spirit, but we want you to leave warm and excited about the Lord, amen. So you be much in prayer about that. We're excited about that. We're excited about what the Lord's doing in Brother Courtney, Miss Ronnie, and their family. And boy, it's a blessing to just see them grow in the Lord. And so we're excited about that very much so as well. So that's all that we have for now. Well, Connor, why don't you come back and lead us in another song?
Turn to page 20. I'm standing on the solid rock, page 20.
Through my disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain, or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock, and I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages. Rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. I comfort him of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptation hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages. Rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
On the last,
now I'm pressing onward. Each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages. Rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Amen. Let's go ahead and make a couple of our regular announcements here. Of course, next Tug will be here the 25th at the church on the 25th. And that'll be at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to that. And then the one after that, the Scamatos will be hosting that one for us on the 11th. And so thank you for your willingness to step up and help us with that, brother. And I'm sure that that'll be a blessing. And then, of course, next Noisy Bucket on the 27th. And there's something else that's part of Quentin's job on that day. Do you remember what else? Something else going on that day, Quentin, on the 27th. What is it, bud? Help me. Okay, Ice Cream Fellowship. Sometimes I forget. And Quentin's job is to help remind me, okay? Thank you. He's even reminded me the morning of, don't forget to pick up the ice cream, amen? You can't have a fellow's ice cream fellowship without the ice cream. Otherwise, it's just a fellowship, right? And so we're looking forward to that day. And then gospel singing with Mark and Andrea Forrester. You don't want to miss out on that. It'll be on a Friday evening, and we are excited about that day. And so be in much prayer. Plan on being here. We're going to also have a cookout. We'll have a sign-up sheet. We'll probably have the main things here at the church, and then if folks want to help us with sides, desserts, and maybe soft drinks and things of that nature, bottled water, that would be a blessing, so we're excited about that. And then also, the regionals is coming up on the 13th through the 18th. Please be in much prayer about this for the kids, for the young people in the school. And I don't know, is there other things that's needed for that, Miss Nancy, as far as for the school, anything else that's needed as far as for the trip or anything like that, or we're pretty covered on that. Okay, so be in much prayer. Well, that's what I'm saying. So we're trying to get a plug in for that right now. So yeah, if you think you want to help with that, see Miss Nancy, and I'm sure she'll tell you how. we can help with that. And then spring break on the 14th through the 24th. And so they'll have to recover from that week of being out of town. Amen. Sometimes you need a vacation from your vacation. Have you ever had to do that before? Right? So yeah, that's sometimes a need there. So be in much, much prayer about all those things. And then looking forward again, please make sure that you're here next Sunday night. We do have some church business to take care of. Of course, we're going to officially get our pulpit committee finished up. And then also we're going to be making a recommendation for interim pastor. And I wanted to go ahead and share that with you now. And that way, if you have questions and things now, we're going to be recommending Pastor Matt Eccles for interim. And I think that he'll be a big help to the church. I feel like he knows the church, knows the people here well. And so we'll be bringing that up as a matter of church business next Sunday night. And so if you have questions, please let us know between now and then. But be in much prayer about all these things that we have in place for next Sunday. But be here, okay? Be here. Please plan on being here. All right, that's all that I have now as far as announcements. Why don't you come back another song?
Yeah. If y'all stand with me and turn to page 35, He is Lord, page 35. Roger, we ask the blessing and the offering, please.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, Lord, to thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you give us. And thank you again for just giving us the gift of opening our eyes up, one gift that we just take for granted too often, Lord. We just know that tomorrow is never promised in today, but you gave us another one. We just thank you, Lord. We just ask you now to bless the offering, the gift, and the giver, Lord. Bless the offering to your church here, to the ministries that we do for your honor and glory. We'll give you all the honor.
Stand one more time with me. Turn to page 56, the old rugged cross, page 56.
Till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
On the last.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
You may be seated.
I did want to take a second to welcome. We got a couple first-time visitors here. Thank you so much for being here at Florence Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here. And then also we had another special guest, Jacob. We're so glad you're here with us this morning, bud. And appreciate, yes, sir. Yeah, he deserves a hand clap. And we do appreciate his service to our country as well. Make sure you go by and you say thank you for your service. So we're so glad to have you here. And I got a little bit aggravated with him yesterday. And he knows why. How many ever play that game at Cracker Barrel where you do the little pins? Yeah. Best I can do is four. It said I was a moron. Okay. Okay. He goes, "That's a," I said, "Have you ever played this game before?" He said, "No." Guess how many he got? Left on. Folks like that just aggravate me. I mean, honestly, they bother me. But anyhow, he's just got a lot of more intelligent mind than I do. Well, we're so glad to have you here this morning, bud. Amen. Even though you made me look bad, but we are glad to have you. Make sure you get by and say hello. This song my wife is going to sing, she really, in preparation for the message today, listen to the message in this song, church. I really believe. You ever prayed for something and you don't get an answer right away? And you just have to keep on praying and waiting on the Lord. Listen to the song. I believe it'll be an encouragement to you this morning.
Another prayer was answered with a no. You're trying hard to just hold on to hope, but you can't ignore the pain deep down inside when it seems your heart's desire has been denied. God always has a reason. This pain is for a season. He knows the plans he has in store. God has never been mistaken. And though your heart is breaking, no one else could could love you more. God always has a reason. God is there even with a no. No sorrow is as deep as His grace goes. Though the pain is great, He is greater still. There's no better place to be than in the Father's will. God always has a reason. This pain is for a season. He knows the plans He has in store. God has never been mistaken. And though your heart is breaking, no one else could love you more. God always has a reason. And He has never been mistaken. And though your heart is breaking, no one else could love you more. God always has a reason. God always has a reason.
Good this morning, church. Amen. We may not always know and understand, but God does have a reason. All right, let's go to John chapter 11 this morning. John chapter 11. And wanted to make mention, Miss Carol, we're so glad to see you here this morning. And we have missed you. She has been under the weather and battled all kinds of sickness, but we're so glad that you're able to be back with us today. And we sure did miss you, sis. Amen. All right, John chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 and probably be looking at a lot of the majority of the chapter this morning, or at least at least half of it. But we're going to just start in verse 1. And when you found your place, if you're able to stand, would you stand in reading of the Word of God in John chapter 11? And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore His sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Let me read verse 6 again. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Father, we thank you again for your goodness. God, thank you for allowing us to be in your house today. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for every song that's been sung. And Lord, the time of fellowship that we've already had. And Lord, you've already blessed us today. Father, we ask now that you would minimize distractions, Lord, if for the next few moments, if you would help us to just focus on your word, focus on the message at hand. And Father, I do pray that it be a help and encouragement to your people. We pray that you continue to work and speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Read here what is probably a pretty familiar passage. And there was something that I came across in reading as I wanted to share with you just by way of introduction into the message. And really what we're looking at today is when the Lord tells us to wait. When the Lord tells us to wait, and Most of the time when we are ready to receive something or ready to have something, our nature does not like to wait, right? Would you agree with that? Have you ever had to tell a child that wanted a certain thing or a certain gift to wait, right? For me, it gets a little more simpler than that. Sometimes I'm ready to have supper and I'm ready to get into things and my wife has to tell me to wait, right? I'm ready to eat now. That's pretty much true anytime you see me, but I have to be told to wait sometimes, right? Sometimes you go to a restaurant and you place your order in, and depending on where you go, you may have to wait longer than, but you have to wait. But waiting is part of it. But let me read this to you on the idea of waiting on God. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Did you catch that, church? Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. So when we learn the concept or understand waiting on the Lord, it doesn't mean that we just give up. It doesn't mean that we're not busy serving the Lord anymore. It doesn't mean that we go off somewhere and say, okay, Lord, I've made my request and I'm not going to do anything else until this request is granted. I kind of thought a little bit about the story of Jonah, and though in his case it really wasn't so much the waiting, more it was the prayer that he had requested or what he actually thought should be done wasn't done, and then he kind of had a sour attitude about it. Understand that in that time and day, that Nineveh, where he went to minister to and preach to, was really an enemy of his people. And what he thought should have happened is that they should have been destroyed. But God had a different plan for them, didn't he? He used him, even though he didn't go in the right spirit, God still used the preaching of the word, and the city came to a revival, you might say, with God. And then when that happened, do you remember what Jonah did? You know, we always know the story of Jonah and the whale, but oftentimes I'm intrigued by what actually happened after that. And what we do know happened is that when things didn't go as Jonah thought, he went and sat down on the edge of the city off to himself, essentially pouting, because he didn't get the result that he wanted. And that happens sometimes when we pray. We don't get the result that we want. It didn't work out the way we thought it should have worked out. And what happens oftentimes is we get a bad spirit about it. It often happens the same way when we're trying to learn to wait on God. Now, what we've seen here is it's clear the emotion that Christ has with, the Bible says, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. As it says in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I believe that it's important to point that out, church, because when the Lord says wait, it's not that he does not favor you. It's not that he does not care for you. It's not that the Lord does not love you. It's very clear that God loves us by the sacrifice that he paid for us on Calvary. There's no question about the love of God. But here, for some reasons that we going to dig into here just a little bit, the Lord decided to wait on this request. But it wasn't because he didn't love them. Now, oftentimes we think, our psyche thinks that when we make a request and we feel like it's not answered or we feel like it is ignored, our natural human tendency is to think, well, nobody cares, or they don't love me, or they care more for somebody else than they do me. That is not the case. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the reason why God, in his infinite wisdom, said, specifically wrote a verse to dedicate the emotion and the feelings that Jesus had for them. So it wasn't that he didn't care. It wasn't that he thought, well, they're just some rotten sinners and I'm going to make them wait. No, there was a different reason for that. So we see, just as we're getting into the message by way of introduction, that Jesus loved the people that we're talking about. Can I remind you that Jesus loves you exactly the way you are right now? Amen. Now, sometimes you can go and you can try to get into a program, or you can apply for a job or school, and There's a process that you have to go through, and you may get selected, you may not. You may get called or called not, but that's not the way it works with the Lord. The Bible clearly says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Jesus loves you exactly how you are right now. So let's not get into our minds, friends, well, the Lord has answered somebody else's prayer, or the Lord has not answered my prayer. He must not care for me. I must not be well favored. I must not be loved. Friend, that's just not true. It's just not true. Now, what we're looking at, first of all, this morning, church, as we start to get into the passage today, is we're going to look at the request. And the request came really in the first three verses, specifically look in verse 3. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. What they've essentially done is they've told the Lord about Lazarus' sickness. They told the Lord that, or they were essentially making a request for the Lord to come down to where Lazarus was. Now, let me say, if you're sick, I do encourage you to call on Jesus. If you have a loved one that is sick, I want to encourage you to call on Jesus. In fact, we dedicate part of our service here at Florence Baptist Church on Wednesday evenings in particular. Now, we pray every service multiple times, but in particular on Wednesday, we set aside some time to hear requests from the people of God, whether it be for themselves, whether it be for family, and so that we can take those petitions together to the Lord and make our requests be made known unto Him. After all, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Is that true? Amen. So we take time to do that. So essentially, this was their request. This was their petition to the Lord, saying, Lord, the one that you love is sick. Is sick. And they were wanting him to come down, and we know that that's true because of the response that we'll look at in just a moment. But what I'm trying to tell you today, friend, is that whether you get an immediate response or not, whether you get an immediate result or not, we should be faithful and continue to make those requests made known unto the Lord. Now, sometimes we will pray and mention something in a prayer and then expect immediate results. And friend, it just doesn't always work that way. In fact, the Bible teaches us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? So there's a principle there and a lesson there, and certainly we could spend a lot of time talking about prayer and the essence of prayer and how we should pray and all that. But what we're trying to share with you today, church, is that the request, when we make the request, friend, we have to be faithful, we have to be consistent, we have to be fervent, and not just give up after just a simple prayer one time. Now, can God answer it? Sure He could. I'm just saying that I believe that sometimes God is trying to use that circumstance or that situation to help grow our faith and help make us stronger Christians and increase our desire to seek God out. You do realize that He does that. You do realize that sometimes things happen in our life where God knows that we have no other place to turn to but Him. In fact, going back to the story of Jonah, when Jonah was running away from God, and then he ended up in the belly of a whale, right? And let me just say, some people say, well, it was a great fish. How do we know it was a whale? Because Jesus confirmed it later on in the scriptures. So we know that it was a whale, just in case anybody's wondering, okay? But anyhow, when he was in the belly of a whale, where did Jonah turn to? Who did he call upon at that moment, right? The whale just didn't spit him out because he didn't set well in his stomach, right? I mean, that happens. But that's not why he finally spit him out. He called on God. He had nowhere else to turn to except the Lord. God used that whale certainly to get Jonah's attention. Jonah wasn't going nowhere. Jonah wasn't getting out until he chose to call on God. And what I'm saying, friend, is that that request may actually be part of God's plan, but it's something that God wants us to continue to do and continue to seek out the Lord, to continue to cry out to the Lord, because we have nowhere else to go to except God. You ever been there, friend? Where you felt like, hey, listen, you could talk about it, but it's not going to solve the problem, and you really have nowhere else to go to except the Lord. You know what I've come to find out? It's in those moments, friend, where I believe that you actually grow as a Christian. When you realize that God is the most important thing that you need and you realize that He's most of what you need. I'm not saying there's not other needs. I'm just saying you come to the realization that as long as you have God, as long as you can call on Him, that you're going to make it through. And what I love about that story is as Jonah had prayed to the Lord, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him again. God gave him another chance. God gave him another opportunity to continue to serve. So we see, first of all, the request here, them advising the Lord or letting the Lord know that Lazarus was sick. Let's look at just a moment at the reply or response. In verse number 4, when Jesus heard it, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Now there's the key part of that verse, church. For the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus, maybe they weren't paying attention, but Jesus already told them in advance, hey, listen, this sickness here, it's really not about the sickness and it's really not actually about the death. But what it's about is that this situation is going to bring glory to God. This situation is going to be glory to the Son of God. And God was going to use this story, and God was going to use this miracle that was about to be performed. I think probably most everybody knows how it ends. But God was going to use this situation to bring glory to God. Friend, what I'm trying to tell you today by the response or reply that we see that Jesus had is that it was a direct reminder to those that He loved that what is happening right now is going to be for the glory of God. It may not always feel good. It may not always go down well. But it was a reminder from the Lord that if we give it to Him, if we continue to seek Him, if we continue to go out, hey, it will bring glory to the Lord. For the record, can I remind you that's one of the primary reasons we come here is for worship and to glorify God, right? We're here to lift Him up. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to glorify God. And so when we gather together, that principle is no different in that we're here to glorify God. But Jesus' response was a reminder that it brings glory to God. He said that the Son of Man might be glorified. And then, of course, we see now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. So as we see, part of His response was, first of all, let me give you a quick message. Let me remind you of something. And then we see how He responded. And for the record, friend, when you're praying to the Lord and when you're pleading to God and you're in a desperate situation, if you'll listen to the Lord, He will remind you of some things that you need to be reminded of. He will do it. And then you see how He responded. In this case, Jesus felt so urgent about the matter that He immediately took off. Is that what happened? No. The Bible said He felt so urgent about the matter that He stayed around and stuck around for another couple days. Now, if you get sick, if you have an emergency, what do? You call 911. Or you go to the hospital. We were talking about a couple of 911 situations yesterday, weren't we, sister? Amen. But how would you feel if you went to the hospital? You went to the doctor and here's your child that is sick, or here's your child that is bleeding, or here's your child that is not breathing. And the doctor says, it'll be all right. I'll be back in 2 days to check on him. I'd probably go to another hospital. Wouldn't you? Or if a parent, you'd be like, no, you're going back in to help my child, right? I don't know what to do. That's your job. You'll be doing everything that you know how to do. And of course, in that moment, I can't think of any person's more place of desperation when their child is sick or their child is injured or their child is at the point of death. That's a desperate place for a parent. And I'm just trying to help us to comprehend this in our mind. We would call 911 and they say, well, call us back in 2 days if nothing changes. That's not going to work for me. I'm going to take them somewhere. You don't answer, then fine, I'll put them in the car and I'll take them somewhere. Right? That's how the Lord responded. Now, can you imagine that? We'll see how that tugs into some of the emotions a little bit later. The Lord said, you know what? I'm going to stay right here for a couple more days and then I'll deal with it. Verse number 7. Then after that saith, he went to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if he walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he after that saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Now watch what happens here. Then in verse 12, then said to his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. They thought that he was literally talking about sleeping, like taking a nap. So, well, Lord, if he's napping, he's probably doing okay. No, that's not what the Lord was talking about. And for the record, that kind of just gives you a magnitude of the power of God versus the power that we have. If somebody is taking a nap, we have the ability to wake them up, don't we? Right? Now, some of my children are a little harder to wake up than other ones, but they're teenage boys. Are you with me? But we have the ability to wake them up. They're napping, they're sleeping, we have the ability to wake up. Now, sometimes you got to get a pot and the ladle and do what you have to do, or get an air horn or whatever has to be done. But that can be woke. And that's what the disciples thought he was talking about. It was just so casual. Oh, Jesus is going to go wake him up. No, let's read on. Then, verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You're not following. He's dead. Okay? In verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then sent Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that they had laid him in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So here we see that he had actually been dead already. 4 days. He's been gone. They thought he was talking about, the other disciples thought he was talking about sleeping. No, Christ was literally talking about death. But isn't it amazing that Jesus was talking about waking him up, and with the same confidence, he was literally dead, but he was talking about waking him up with the same confidence as you and I would wake somebody up who was just sleeping, taking a nap. The Lord knew the whole time. And let me just remind you, friend, as we're going along, we've seen the request, we've seen the response of Jesus, but never in this story do I see anywhere that the Lord lost control or that the Lord didn't know what was going on. See, why does that matter to me today, Pastor? Because I realize and am well aware of the fact that some of you are dealing with things and going through things today that it feels like you have lost control. It feels like nobody else knows and nobody else understands. And I just want to remind you, church, that God knows exactly what you're going through right now. He has not forgotten about you. He has not stopped loving you. He knows exactly what you're dealing with and how it's all going to turn out. He still has it under control today, church. He has not lost his power. He is not off of the throne. Jesus is still well aware of what's going on in your personal life, your family life, your church life. God knows exactly what is going on. So what do we do, friend? We may just have to wait on the Lord. We may just have to let Him work. And we may not understand it all right now. But one day we'll be able to stand back and look at that circumstance and look at that situation and say, boy, I could just see now looking back that God was working the whole time. To God be the glory for the things that He has done. Let's read on a little bit. The Jews came to support their sisters in Christ. Mary and Martha, of course, were grieving. A normal reaction, the loss of their brother. Verse 20. than Martha. As soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Church, this morning we've looked at the request, we've looked at the reply. Now for a moment, let's look at the reaction. And I'm talking about the reaction of Mary and Martha. Now what we have observed is at this particular moment, two different reactions. Before, you remember that Mary was always the one at Jesus' feet worshiping, right? Giving him glory, and Martha was always the one working. I wonder if she's grown a little bit in the Lord. Because it almost seems in this moment, I'm not trying to speak bad about Mary. I'm just talking about their reactions. You know, people react differently to different things emotionally. When people get saved, they react differently. Some have shed tears. Some have shouted for joy. Some have get somewhere and want to get a microphone and tell everybody what Jesus had done for them because they're so excited. Some call everybody their family. People have different reactions too when they receive the Lord. Here, they hear that Jesus is coming and Martha goes out to meet him. And Mary stays put. That doesn't mean that she didn't want to see Jesus. She's probably overwhelmed in her emotion. But here in this moment, Martha hears Jesus coming and goes out to meet him. Now, friend, that's a great reminder to us. And for the record, when you come to the house of God, we ask the Lord to come here and meet with us. And you might be dealing with something, you might be going through something. Wouldn't it be good to come and try to meet where Jesus is at? Now, they weren't at the house where he was or the grave where Lazarus was. They just went to the meeting place where Jesus was. Does anybody know what the meeting place is around here? Does it, right? Thank you, Miss Joanne. Thank you. Miss Joanne knows what we're talking about. Hey, this is the meeting place for Jesus. So what should you do when you're dealing with things and you don't understand and you're grieved and you're heartbroken? Why don't you go to the meeting place where Jesus is at? Now, I get it. I'm really not trying to be hard on Mary. I get it. But what I'm saying is that there is a lesson to the reaction that Martha had. She was grieving too. She was hurting too. And all I'm just trying to tell you, friend, you're always better off to go to where Jesus is. You know it's church time. You know it's time to meet with the Lord. You know it's time to meet with the people of God. Friend, I want to encourage you to go where Jesus is. So we see that she came and met him. Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, she wanted to talk to the Lord a minute. Watch this. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now she went to the Lord. She had to, in my opinion, pour out her heart to the Lord. And that's okay, friend. If there's a place where you can pour out your heart to the Lord, it's in the house of God. It's on an old-fashioned altar. It's on your knees before God. And what her thought was here, Lord, if you had been here, my brother hadn't died. He wouldn't have died. You ever gotten to the place where you said, Lord, if you had answered this request, this wouldn't have happened? That's a tough place to be in, church. I acknowledge that. She is grieving the loss of her brother, and in her mind, if Jesus hadn't delayed, if the Lord hadn't said, wait a minute, just wait a little bit, her brother had still been there. Now, she doesn't know at this moment what Jesus is about to do. But in that particular moment, Lord, if you had answered my prayer or my request when I prayed it, this wouldn't have happened. What she doesn't realize yet is that the Lord's about to perform an even greater miracle. Is it a greater miracle to heal a sick person? Or is it a greater miracle to raise up a person from the dead? She doesn't realize that she was robbing herself of a blessing. And oftentimes, if God always answered every prayer the way we prayed, we might have shorted ourselves on a blessing. Absolutely, when we pray to God and God heals someone, man, we rejoice, don't we? I mean, we've seen it happen here. I've heard several stories, even just in our time here where we pray, and the next time they say, they don't know what happened. All of a sudden, they're feeling better. They're healed. We know what happened. The doctors may not know what happened. The physician may not be able to explain it. The medical staff may have no clue what's going on. But hey, Florence Baptist Church knows what's going on. But you see, sometimes, church, if God had answered our initial request, instead of teaching us to wait, we might have been shorting ourselves on a blessing. Because now what we see, what we know as the end of the story, that there is a much, much bigger blessing, a much, much greater miracle that's coming. And for the record, had you been Martha and Jesus came down and healed your brother, you would be relieved. But after you went through the emotion and the heartache and the struggle and the feeling of actually losing your brother, and then Jesus comes by and raises your brother up from the dead, is that not an even stronger appreciation for what Jesus did? Of course it is. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. But also appreciating her pouring her heart out to the Lord, said, I'm well aware that whatever you ask to do is going to be done. In other words, you're omnipotent. God, whatever it is in your will to be done, it'll be done. Then Jesus saith in her, verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. How about that? Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She's thinking about, hey, one day when we all go to heaven. Again, they're misunderstanding what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said in verse 25 to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, hey, the Master's come and calleth for thee. She has her moment with the Lord and has some acknowledgments that she has between her and the Lord. And then right after that, she goes and sort of privately, hey, Mary, Jesus is here. He's asking for you. He's asking for you. You know, church, when I read that, I often think about people that aren't here. People that we're missing. And sometimes I just want to go to them and say, hey, don't you realize Jesus is asking for you? Don't you realize, friend, the Lord's wanting you here. God's wanting you here. Friend, never think for a minute if you're not here, you're not missed, because you are. Every single person in this church is valuable. First of all, in the eyes of God. Every single one of you here matters. Every single one of you here could be told this, that, hey, don't you realize that Jesus was here looking for you? He wants you here. Friend, you matter. You matter to this church. You matter to the Lord. You matter to how everyone else is encouraged by you. I just want you to know that you matter. And here, she goes and tells her sister, hey, listen, the Lord's looking for you. He's asking for you. And friend, that's true for you as well. That's just a little thought I wanted to give you. We've looked at this morning, church, the request. We've looked at the reply, the reaction. The last part we're going to look at is the resurrection. The resurrection. In verse 29, and as soon as she had heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, there goeth she goeth up to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down. That's the Mary that we know. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Same message from Martha, same emotion, understandable. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, watch this, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, based on what we've read, church, do you believe that Jesus was weeping because he thought Lazarus was gone forever? Do you believe that Jesus was weeping because he was questioning himself? Oh man, maybe I should have been here. It says there clearly, church, in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You know why I believe Jesus started to weep? Because when he saw the people that he loved hurting, it hurt him. It's not that he was worried about Lazarus. He knew what Lazarus, hey, that's just part of the miracle. He knew what he was about to do. He was hurting because they're hurting. He wept because they wept. Friend, there's several lessons that we can take from that. First of all, it's a reminder to you and I that the Lord can relate to our pain. The Lord understands our hurt. The Lord understands our emotions. It's also reminded us as Christians that, hey, if you want to reach people on a personal level, then relate to their pain. You may not understand it. You may not get it, friend, as to why somebody hurts. But friend, you can always have compassion on someone. And you can relate to their pain. And you want to start to make an impact on somebody's lives. You want to start to really be an encouragement and a help and a comfort to people. Oh, friend, you get someone with a Christian brother or sister and you wrap your arms around them and you tell them how much you love them and you tell them how much you care about them and you tell them how much you understand and you're very sorry for their loss or their suffering that they're experiencing. Now you're talking about reaching people. Now you're talking about helping people. Jesus knew that he was going to perform the miracle. Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus. That was not the essence of his tears. It was seeing those that he loved hurting. There's a whole verse dedicated here in verse 35 that just speaks to Jesus weeping. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. I think that some people are still, it's not that he didn't love Lazarus. He was relating to the pain of those that he loved. In verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? There's still always going to be skeptics to what Jesus does in your life, in my life, in people's lives. There's people that are always going to not understand. And here's just another group that are just still not getting it. They're still not getting it. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. They come to the tomb and Jesus said, hey, just roll that stone back. And Martha said, Lord, I don't know if that's a good idea. It's all lost by now. You know what I think happens sometimes in our own lives? You see, in this moment, the Lord wanted to peel back that rock so that he could perform a miracle. And sometimes we get so hard-hearted. And sometimes we build up these walls. And yes, it's painful. And yes, it hurts. And Yes, we're afraid of what the Lord might expose if he starts to pull things back and peel things back so that he can get in there and perform a miracle in your life. Martha was a little bit afraid. She was afraid of what was about to come out. She literally was afraid of dying flesh that we know and I know at this moment would have been very stinking in that moment. The odor would have probably been overwhelming, and that's what Martha feared. But friend, I'm just here to tell you today that God wants to perform a miracle in your life. And it doesn't matter how rotten you think you are. It doesn't matter how stinking your life is. It doesn't matter what has happened in your life. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. Would you just let Jesus come into your life and pull things apart and get into your heart and let him do a work that nobody else can do? What we've seen happen right here, what we've seen transpire right here was something only Jesus could do. I couldn't have done it. You couldn't have done it. But that's something that only Jesus can do. Friend, don't be afraid to let Jesus in. Would you let him come in? Would you let him perform a miracle? Would you be a witness to what Jesus can do in your life? Oh, friend, I know that sometimes we're afraid of the rottenness. Lord, I know sometimes we're embarrassed. Lord, if you start to dig into my life, it's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be smelly. It's going to be rotten. It's going to be awful. And I can understand why Martha was a little bit afraid. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Martha, I already told you. You just got to believe what I can do. Friend, you know what you need today? You just need to believe what Jesus can do. You need to stop looking at what you think you can do or what somebody else can do and just start focusing on what Jesus can do for you. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which I stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 43, watch this. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. And there's so much I want to say about what we just read, church. First of all, I heard it said one time that Jesus had to specifically call Lazarus' name because if he'd have just told the dead to rise up, they'd all got up.
Amen.
That's how powerful God is. So he had to be very specific to Lazarus. And of course, Jesus called Lazarus up from the dead and he got up, grave clothes and all. I mean, come out looking like a mummy. I mean, basically he had all his grave clothes on. But you know what else Jesus said? That should matter to you and I. What did he say? Loose him and let him go. Friend, don't you see that's a picture of what Jesus wants to do in your life? Don't you realize that when you're bound in sin, don't you realize that when the devil has a stronghold on you and you finally let Jesus come in and roll that hard stone of your heart away and let Jesus come in and perform a miracle in your life, don't you realize that what Jesus is trying to do is actually to loose you? People often think, well, if I become a Christian, I'll lose my freedoms and my liberties, and I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy this lifestyle that I have. Don't you realize, friend, that you're in sin's prison, and Jesus is the one trying to loosen things up and set you free? That's what Jesus does in our hearts. He wanted to loosen. He wanted to let Lazarus go. And friend, don't you realize that's exactly what he's trying to do for you? No matter what the need is, friend, because one or two things. Either you're bound by some kind of circumstance or some kind of trial. It's got a stronghold in your life. And the Lord is trying to come through and perform a miracle in your life. Or you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior. You never let Him come into your heart and save your soul and repented of your sins. Don't you realize that Jesus is trying to loose you from sin-sick prison? Can't you see that's what Jesus is trying to do for you, friend? What a beautiful picture that we see. I mean, it was a literal resurrection of what happened here. But what we're seeing today, friend, is that God is trying to do a spiritual resurrection in your life. Maybe there's some Christians here today that have gone off dead and dried up and they got hard-hearted and just strayed away from the Lord. Don't you see that God's trying to let you free, set you free? Or sinners here just lost and on their way to hell. Friend, He's trying to set you free. Either way, Jesus is trying to loosen you up and set you free. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask the pianist to come. Now you see, friend, twice in our passage, Jesus said this was for the glory of God. This was for my glory. And what God is trying to show us on why sometimes He tells us to wait is, first of all, because He can get glory out of it. And second of all, because He actually has a bigger blessing for you waiting down the road. He has a greater miracle for you and I. Don't you see, Fred? Don't you see what Jesus is trying to do? Maybe you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you'll say, Pastor, I feel like that's what the Lord has told me. He's told me to wait. I didn't understand why. But now I see, as God spoke to my heart, that He's got something better for me. Pastor, would you pray for me that I have the patience? Would you pray for me that I have the faith to wait on Him? Anybody like to say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. God spoke to my heart with that message. Pray for me. You can just slip up your hands and put them back down. Slip up your hand, put them back down. Thank you. I see those hands. Wonderful, wonderful. Anybody else say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? I'm going to pray in a moment. Thank you. I see that hand. God is speaking to hearts this morning. Anybody else? Maybe you're here today. Listen, this is important. This is serious. And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever let Jesus in my heart before. I don't know that I've ever been saved by the grace of God. I don't know if I was to die today that I'm going to heaven. I can't honestly say that I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Is there anybody like that here at all? Say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand just like the others did a moment ago? Don't be embarrassed. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't know that I've rolled that stone away and let Jesus in. Anybody? Anybody? I'm going to have a word of prayer, but I'm going to ask Christians if you would continue to pray. Those who lifted their hands, would you continue to seek the Lord? So please remain standing with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we come to you now. Lord, we know that there's a great need here this morning. And Lord, you spoke to several hearts. God, you're dealing with hearts. God, you're trying to teach people to wait. You're trying to show them that, God, you have a greater blessing on down the road for them. Father, several lifted their hands, said that you spoke to their hearts, and God, you know who they are. You know what the need is. Father, I pray that you touch them in a special way today. God, give them what they need. God, just continue to work in their hearts. Do something special in their lives. Give them the patience, God. Put a hedge of protection upon them. Lord, we know that the devil wants to discourage them and attack them. God, we know it's coming, but Lord, would you put a hedge around them? God, would you increase their faith? Help them today. Lord, we think about the one who lifted their hand for salvation. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them. God, I pray that you'd help them to realize that today is the day of salvation. Lord, help them to know that you want to come into their heart and make everything new and perform a miracle that only you can do. Lord, would you touch them? Lord, would you bring them forward? These things we ask in Jesus' name. Please remain standing with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've got a need this morning, would you come? The altar's open for you. If you're here this morning and you lifted your hand, not sure of your salvation, I'm going to ask Brother Echols, if he'll just, would you come up here, brother, would you, if you don't mind? He'll meet you down here. Would you step forward? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Don't be ashamed, dear friend. You could get it settled this morning. Would you come? Would you come? If there's somebody standing there, I'm sure they'd be happy to oblige and step out, step aside for you. Don't be ashamed. We love you this morning, dear friends. Would you come and get it settled today? Receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Let Him do a miracle in your life. How about you? If that's you today, friend, would you come? Would you come? If you're not sure, would you come? I've said it before and I'll keep saying it. There's no greater joy than the people of this church and to see you come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. There's nobody in this church that would say, well, Pastor, I had to get somewhere and you invited someone to come and receive Jesus. No, there's nobody here. That's not this church. We care about your soul, dear friend. That's the most important business that we have today. Would you come? We love you, dear friend. Would you come? All right. All right. Thank you, church. You can look up here a moment. I'd like you to come by, and Brother Echols, would you come to the back with me there in just a moment? And I wanted to say something more. Brother Echols has been a good friend of mine. I want you to know that, church. Brother Echols has been a big, big help to me, been a big encouragement to me. He's supported us and helped us in many, many ways. And one of the things that I appreciate about Brother Echols is that he cares about this church. He loves the people here. He's sensitive to especially the ones, all of us, but the ones that recently come to know the Lord, knows that they need some love and someone to care. And so I just want you to know, just from a personal standpoint, how much of a blessing he is. And I wish you'd just get around and just get to know him a little bit. And maybe if you'd like to get to know him some, maybe I'm sure he'd be happy to take a phone call or meet. Yeah, was that brother? Did you? Yeah, you sure can, brother. Go ahead and be seated for just a moment. I'm going to let him come up. And then if you don't mind, dismiss us in prayer, brother, okay? Okay. The 12th.
Saturday.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, you know, how can you know our pastor without loving him? And Edie and I have really grown to love Pastor Zacharias, dear wife, and all the kids. It's been a blessing. And just before we pray, I'd like to encourage our church family, all of us, you, me, to do something. Now, I can give a date. I think we'll give the date as we get closer for the packing of the truck, the loading. So, we need folks to come over and just be willing to help. If we have enough to help, we can do the truck, load it in 2 hours, maybe three. Load it up. So the date right now, Pastor is shooting for a Saturday. We'll know what date that is. And so that would be such a blessing. It really would. Amen. Now, the other is this. How many of you can say, Pastor and Mrs. Sicarios, that's been a blessing to you? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, let's take and do something special for them individually. Let's consider and prayerfully ask the Lord what he would have us to do in addition to our regular tithes and perhaps offerings, is to give something extra. We have envelopes in the back table where the bulletins are. We'll make sure that whoever stocks the table, I think it's Sister Nancy, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll have offering envelopes there. And let's give a love gift. Sorry. Okay. Yes, thank you, Dana. My fault, believe me, I didn't catch that. But I've been overwhelmed. This is a wonderful message this morning, Pastor. I sincerely mean that. So let's take and starting tonight, if you want to get a love offering, an envelope, and you're welcome to write a check out. And who is going to receive the offerings away? Okay, Nancy, Ms. Nancy. And but then starting tonight, every service, you'll have an opportunity. If you come in, you say, oh, I'm going to have to, we'll plan ahead. And let's give a great offering for a wonderful send-off for our pastor. Let's invest in his ministry and Elizabeth, excuse me, Miss Elizabeth. They call my wife, Miss Edie, Miss Elizabeth. It for her, for her ministry. My wife shudders when I do that. All right. How many of you have been glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. 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 Let's stand to be dismissed in prayer. And as we stand, shake hands with at least, after we pray, two or three people. Let them know you love them. And then go by and just shake hands with Pastor. I'd like to be back at the back door as well, Pastor. The invitation to do that. So let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, our heart has been blessed. And we love you. And we thank you. We ask that you'll bless each and every person and family, every home represented. We ask that you be glorified in our lives. And Father, as we are being dismissed these next few moments, we ask that you'll bring us back safely this evening. We ask, Lord, that you'll use us. Help us to reach out to others. And Lord, you have something wonderful planned for the family of Florence Baptist Church. And we just love you and we just praise you. But now, Father, we ask that you'll bless Pastor and Mrs. Sicarios this afternoon, their home, and we ask for your will to be done in their life. Every decision that they make, may you be glorified. And we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name, and God's people said,
amen.
Shake hands, three people.